Mark Gowdy, OSEG president, confirming yesterday on The Drive that the expectation is that head coach Paul LaPolice will return next year along with the coaching staff. So that's already appears to be in place before they even bring in a general manager. Thoughts on that, Zimmer? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I look at that and say, hey, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Okay. I'm not sure I do. I'm not sure. I'm not sure there's a choice, and I understand that given the finances. But I think if you're looking for someone who, and this is not to to say whether Paul LaPolice has done a great job or not this year. I mean, the team is 2-9. He's in the first year of a three-year contract. The budget would tell you in a CFL that you just can't let a coach go. He's got two more years left on his contract. The issue, though, is you know, are you hiring a general manager who works with the coach when you know, not necessarily that that they're, you know, you want them to align themselves, but you know, Paul LaPolice, you know, does he align himself with 100% of the candidates? Probably not.
Yeah, I would do that, align it, only because, as I said, you want to reconstruct a roster in the CFL, you're able to do that, JR, and it would pretty much be a wasted year if you're going to have a general manager and head coach button heads.
All right, well, let's get more thoughts on this. So let's go to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline and welcome from the CFL on TSN, Dwayne Ford, the discussion this morning. How you doing this morning, Dwayne?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Excellent. Got to ask you, I mean, you've done a number of Red Blacks games this year. It has not been pretty. You know that better than anybody. It's a lot of fourth quarters that you guys have had to fill and try and be entertaining when the game hasn't been entertaining. Are you when you heard the news yesterday, I guess, were you surprised either at the news or at its timing?
I was surprised by neither, quite honestly. And I think when you look at the team's record over the last two seasons played, 2019 and 2021, obviously, in both instances, it's been the Canadian Football League's worst record. And so I think that in terms of, is the news surprising based on that? No. I think a lot of people would look and kind of think that this is a roster that needs improvement in order to be able to compete, and particularly on the offensive side of the ball. But I think as a whole, on paper, the roster is not as strong as contending teams in the Canadian Football League. And then as far as the timing, when the team was officially eliminated from playoff contention on Saturday, I think that's what makes the timing make sense, is, okay, this year is not, we're really no longer playing for this year. We are playing for the future. And I think this gives the OSEG executive group an opportunity to evaluate what's going on down the stretch in order to prepare for next season and beyond.
For the franchise, has been a model since it returned. Would this also be a big business decision based on the timing of, hey, it's been COVID, it's been a down year as far as, well, you couldn't have many people at the game, but starting to get a bit worried about the what has been so successful?
I don't necessarily think that that's a huge consideration, quite honestly, that, you know, I mean, the bottom line is, I think that this is a football decision more than a business decision, that you have a team that has struggled for a couple of years, maybe has trended in the wrong direction, you know, essentially since the end of the 2018 season. And you want to sort of get things pointing in the right direction and start working on that as soon as you can.
With Dwayne Ford from the CFL on TSN, as you assess this team and its difficulties, Dwayne, over the last two football seasons, 2019 and now this year, what do you pinpoint as the biggest deficiencies as far as how the roster has been constructed?
Yeah, the number one thing to me, far and away, is that the team hasn't been strong at quarterback. We all know that this is a quarterback-driven league. You know, it has long been my theory that you can't contend for a Grey Cup unless you get sort of MOP caliber play from your quarterback. You look at the trend over, you know, the last decade, maybe more, that it doesn't necessarily mean that your quarterback has to be an MOP finalist or even an MOP nominee, but as the team comes down the stretch and into the playoffs, using Zach Collaros as an example last year, you had a guy under center who was playing at an MOP level, and that's what you need. And if you have a guy who's not capable of playing that level, or you don't have anybody who's capable of playing that level at the quarterback position, you're not a Grey Cup contender.
Early on, you had Burris, who went to Harris, and it was a pretty good thing. Is it a fault of the organization 7 years in that they haven't developed their own young quarterback?
I would call it an issue. It's something that needs to happen. But I think when you look at the Canadian Football League, it's an interesting thing, because I think that one thing that has kind of evolved over time in the CFL is that the development from within has maybe become a little bit less, and the nature of free agency gives you opportunities to go out and get guys, right? You're talking about a league where all your free agency is completely unrestricted. So a lot of times you can plug holes and overcome. I could list off examples of a lot of teams in the league, quite honestly and quite oddly, that have not developed many, if any, quarterbacks over a long period of time. Sometimes you get one team that is a bit of a pipeline. And I've spent most of my career playing for one of those teams in Calgary, right? Where it was like we kind of always had the next guy. Edmonton, for a stretch, always had the next guy. And so you look around the league and suddenly, you've got 9 starting quarterbacks, and, 3 of them came into the league with Calgary and 3 of them came into the league with Edmonton. And so there are, it's a league where the nature of the league is such that there are ways around that. But that said, I think it's certainly something that over a long period of time can catch up with you, because it's such an important position.
Potentially, we'll see a quarterback shake free, I would assume, at the end of this season out of Hamilton, either Jeremiah Masoli or Dane Evans. From what you've seen of Caleb Evans, very small sample size of Duck Hodges, mm-hmm. really not much of anything at all, and even smaller of Taryn Christian. But on Evans, do you see potential there for a long-term CFL quarterback? And if so, could you put your eggs in that basket next season, or do you have to find a veteran QB here in Ottawa next year?
My feeling is that you have to find a veteran QB for next year, and that's not a knock or anything on Caleb Evans. It's really hard for young quarterbacks to play in this league. It takes time for guys to develop and to really be ready to step in and play. And I think when you look around the league again, there are so many examples of that. We always say Ricky Ray was the exception, very much the exception to the rule, that as a guy who came in and was effective in his true rookie season in the Canadian Football League. With most guys, it takes at least a couple of years. You look at a guy, for example, like Vernon Adams, who's had his ups and downs this year, but had a real breakout year last year. That's about 4 years in, and after bouncing around the league, and Cody Fajardo, an MOP finalist last year, was on his third team and kind of 4 years into the league, and so on. And so many guys like that. Jeremiah Masoli is another example, right, of a guy who spent a lot of time as a backup before he was ready to become an MOP finalist and a really established starter in the Canadian Football League. So it typically takes time. So I think it's unfair to expect Caleb Evans to be that guy, or quite frankly, even his second year. I think you need a veteran guy to be able to move forward right now.
Paul LaPolice, 3 years in Winnipeg, which you know very well, 16-28, 2-9 here. My calculation, that's 18-37. Thoughts on him as a head coach in the CFL?
Yeah, I have a lot of faith in Paul LaPolice as a head coach. I think that there are factors in every situation that can contribute to a head coach's record. I think that Paul probably learned a lot from his first experience as a head coach in Winnipeg, and continues to learn from his experience in Ottawa. Again, like you have to look at trends around the league and so on. And I think one of the things you look at and point to is Winnipeg, right? In kind of year two or year three of Mike O'Shea's tenure as head coach, there are a lot of people suggesting that Mike O'Shea should be let go. But there's a learning curve, much like quarterbacks, that, we always want these immediate results, but I don't know that immediate results are realistic. It takes time to build something. And, I think when you have a very good coach, you have to be patient and give them time to learn parts of the job and to develop and so on. But, going back to the Winnipeg example, you know, if people had kind of pulled the trigger after year two or year three on Mike O'Shea, I can assure you they wouldn't be the defending Grey Cup champions and the league's most dominant team right now.
Speaking with Dwayne Ford from the CFL on TSN, obviously, and you know, Oseg said yesterday that their expectation is that Paul Aplice will return as the head coach next year. Does that in any way, in your opinion, Dwayne, compromise the search for the next general manager in that he already has a head coach in place?
I think that that might be an issue for some people, but not for all. Again, I think that you have a pretty good coaching staff in place, quite honestly, in Ottawa, and one that would be attractive for a lot of people to have the opportunity to work with. You've got an experienced group, a group that I think the players have followed, will follow, will continue to follow. And so there are a lot of positives there.
All right. Well, the list of potential candidates started coming out yesterday after the news of Marcel Desjardins was released. And lo and behold, I saw your name mentioned as a potential general manager candidate here in Ottawa. So, Dwayne, I got to ask you, would you be interested in the position?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I would say is that the opportunity to help build a team is something that has always interested me. And I think that for anyone with those kind of aspirations, I think that there are a lot of very positive, very attractive things about the Ottawa situation. So I mean, it's not for me to decide whether I'm a candidate. I guess that would be for those running the franchise to decide whether that's, you know, worth investigating. You know, and I certainly don't want to be a guy who uses the exposure of my current job to try to campaign for another job. But to answer your question, in fairness, I would be lying if I said that it wasn't of interest.
Do you want us to forward this this audio tape to Bart Gowdy, president of OSEG?
I don't think that'll be necessary. Okay. I appreciate it, though.
Okay.
You know, you guys would probably be looking for a percentage, if anything.
Oh, he's listening right in his office right now, I can guarantee you. Dwayne, to that, in the process in the CFL, like, would you have an agent contact the Red Blacks, or would you sit back and wait for them to contact you?
Honestly, guys, that's not something that I'm entirely comfortable talking about at this time in terms of, you know, I mean, in terms of my own situation, as I said, like, if it's something that comes to fruition in terms of there being interest in me, then so be it. But that's not really for me to decide. And as I said, I mean, I have a job, which is to be a Canadian Football League analyst for the CFL on TSN. And I don't want to use that position to campaign for a different job.
Let's go back a couple of years. In hindsight, was it a mistake to let Coach Campbell go and keep Marcel Desjardins? Or under the circumstances, do you understand that? Or what was kind of the view within the CFL?
Well, I would say that the view within the CFL was that the team's biggest issues were with the roster. And obviously, you know, not knowing necessarily the ins and outs of how some roster decisions were made, you know, that tends to have fingers pointing towards the general manager, the personnel department, and so on. And so I think in that sense, within the league, there's probably a bit of a feeling, or was a bit of a feeling, that if one was going to stay and one was going to go, that it would have been more likely at that time to be the general manager. But, you know, if the decision that was made, you know, Marcel is a guy who put together a Grey Cup championship team and a team that reached and competed for the Grey Cup on a regular basis, right? This is a team that was pretty consistently, other than 2019, you know, 2014 and 2019, in the mix to be East Division champions. And, you know, I mean, that's a pretty good thing to have on a resume as a general manager.
Mm. We'll finish with this. You've already said that you believe that the quarterback situation needs to be fixed here in Ottawa for next season. As you assess the rest of the roster, and we had Marcel on the show yesterday, Dwayne, shortly after his firing was announced, and he said, amongst other things, he feels like there's a lot of good young players here in Ottawa and then I'll add my own thing that, you know, I'm assuming he's going to go on to say that are ready to pop here pretty soon. Do you agree with that assessment? As you assess this roster, add a really good quarterback, can this team rebound fairly quickly and as soon as next season?
Well, I think it can rebound and be competitive as soon as next season. I think you would like to add a few more pieces to the roster, quite honestly, and in a couple of different places. I think when you look offensively, yeah, there are some guys that are interesting. I think Ryan Davis is a guy who has a chance to be a very good player in the Canadian Football League as he gets to know the league better as you improve at the quarterback position. Obviously, that becomes a factor, in terms of the production of a receiver and so on. But they probably do need to be stronger than they are at the receiver position, for example. I know they took a couple of surprising hits with guys pulling the chute on them just before the season on the offensive line, but that's a unit that needs to be solidified as well. And so, yeah, I mean, you look on the offensive side of the ball, it's no secret where this team's struggles have been the greatest by far this year. And again, I think you look at those factors and you can see where the most obvious upgrades are needed.
Would it be smart for anyone interviewing for the job to say it's a 3 to 5 year plan so you can get a 5 year contract? And I love the pull in the chute. That's old school 80s. I love it.
Well, yeah, usually that would be talking about when you're trying to get your buddies to go out to the bar on Saturday.
Oh, no, it was that was hockey. That was a hockey term all the time. I love it.
All right, good stuff. Listen, really appreciate your time and your candor. And we'll see what comes to fruition as the search for the general manager begins here in Ottawa. Thanks for the time this morning. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime.